So this is the best way you all can spend your holiday as a holy day. So for a devotee there is no holiday. So somebody came to ISKCON and they saw the devotees chanting 16 rounds in the morning for a couple of hours. They were shocked. He said, how often you all do this? Devotee said, we do it every day. Really, every day, my Lord? Is it 5 days a week or what? It's not 5 days a week. They said, in devotion service there is no holiday. Actually, the word holiday comes from holiday only. A holy day has become holiday. Because not only in India, all over the world, whenever people would get a break from their job, and they would use that time for going to holy places. Just like in India, people go to the Divya Desams, isn't it? All the holy places in South India, people would take a break with their wife, children, family. That visiting holy places is like another festival. Taking darshan, doing upavas, climbing up the hill and all that. So you all are utilizing your Eid. Thanks to GGD College, SIT College for giving us Eid holiday. So you can intensify your Krishna consciousness more. That's a beautiful verse. So we are continuing our series in teachings of Queen Kunti. This is verse, chapter number 12. Yeah. Please all of you repeat after me. Naveda kashche bhagavamsche kirshitam taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam Nayasya kaschit Dayatosti karhichit Dayatosti Veshyasya yasmin Veshyascha yasmin Vishamamatirnranam. I'll read the translation. Before that, maybe three devotees can recite. Who would like to recite? Rather Prabhu, you recite and show, and then others will recite. Some students, some 2-3 hands are up. Who all want to say? Give them. Dayitosti karhichi. Vishamamatirnaram. All of you are catching the meter. Navedakaschit bhagavamscha kirshitam. Everybody.
Navedakaschit bhagavamscha kirshitam.
Taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam. Nayasya kaschit dayitosti karhichit. Veshyascha yasmin vishamamatirnranam. Who can recite in this meter? Anybody? Raise a hand. Same meter. Anyone do it? You want to try? I give it.
Yeah.
Vedakashchit Bhagavanscha Kirshitam Taveha Manasya Nrinam Vidambanam She is telling, O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and so are misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. So Kunti Maharani's prayers are very high class prayers. In our spiritual life, first, in the preliminary stage, when you were all taught, you were taught about knowledge of soul, knowledge of the material world, spiritual world, and the existence of a God or the Supreme Controller. That is the beginning, preliminary stage of spiritual life. There is a God who is controlling the whole world. He is the generator, operator, destroyer, and all that. But then, later in Utkarsh camp, you learn more about God as not just a controller, but somebody who is also very so loving towards his devotees that he becomes subordinate to them. So you learn many pastimes on Vatsalaras and Sakhyaras and Madhuriras and all that. So, it is not enough to just know that there is a God above us. And we have to bow down to him and salute him and say thank you for whatever he has given. That is not enough actually. Because that type of religion will not keep us enthused for a very long time. When Prabhupada went to Tehran, he saw there was one Atreya Rishi Prabhu who was the president there. And Prabhupada didn't find any deities there at all. And Prabhupada came to the temple, he asked, where are the deities here? They had kept one small picture of Radha Krishna in one corner, small lamination, just like postcard size. Prabhupada asked, where are the deities? They said, Prabhupada kept it in the loft, in the top. They said, only those who are 1600 devotees, we allow them to go to the top and take darshan of the deities. They said, for other people here, it is an open hall. We don't keep the deities open. Why? Because Muslims come here. And they also come and sit and do meditation in the hall. And Muslims are against deities, or the murti form of the Lord. And we thought they may misunderstand us and they may stop coming because we want to cultivate them and make them also Hare Krishna devotees. So that's why we have kept the deities privately. And then Prabhupada asked them, you see, what type of meditation do they do? They say they are La ilah illillah means what is the meaning? Allah is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And La ilah illillah means there is no one equal to Him or superior to Him. He is ultimate, that's the meaning. So, and then Prabhupada was telling, in fact, Prabhupada had told when they published Bhagavad Gita in Urdu, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Prabhupada said, Allah said. Like that. Prabhupada told them to write like that instead of saying Sri Krishna said or anything, because Allah and Bhagavan are same. Allah and Krishna are same. So Prabhupada said, if they are glorifying Allah, you can only glorify a person. Is that not true? So yeah, they are glorifying that person, but who is that person? What do they know about him? They don't know. If you don't know the glories of a person, if you don't know the activities of a person, then how can you develop love for him? Can you develop love for air? Can you develop love for electricity? Something which has no form, are no attributes, are no qualities. So Prabhupada asked. And then Nandarani Mataji was also in the temple. She was telling Prabhupada, you know, they don't talk about all that. They just say, you bow down to God in the mosque when you go. In the mosque also they have no murti there. They say God is like a supreme intelligence or supreme energy. You just bow down to Him and respect Him. And Prabhupada said, that is a very, very preliminary religion, Prabhupada said. To know God as some energy which is controlling this world. Even nowadays, modern day educated atheistic scientists have come to their conclusion that there is some intelligence above, which is governing the whole universe. So Prabhupada said, that's not a very high class religion. It's very preliminary. In fact, acceptance of God in that manner is mostly like an order supplier. Okay, God is controlling the world and He can supply me whatever I want. It cannot go beyond that at all. And Prabhupada said, if you really have to advance in your understanding of God, then you have to know Him as a person. And not just a person, you have to know Him as a person with all the opulences. You all know, all beauty, all knowledge, all strength, all fame, all wealth, all renunciation. You should know. And it is not enough to know that He is the source of all opulences, but He is the supplier of all opulences to all the tiny living beings also. Whatever strength and intelligence and beauty we possess also belongs to Him only. And even that is not enough. Because even though He possesses all the opulences, and He is the supreme controller, and He has the power to, He has the potency to create the universe and run the universe, just like in the night you put a chatai down to sleep, isn't it? Like that the Lord unwinds the whole universe. You can imagine. And then next day morning you wind it up. Like that the Lord winds up the whole universe. Like morning you wind up the chatai and keep it in the corner, isn't it? Similarly, He creates and He annihilates. He says, what is that verse? Prakritim swama vashtabhya visrijami punah punah bhuta grama vimam kritsnam avasham prakritir vashat natamamtani karmani nibadnanti dhananjaya. He is telling also, bhuta grama se evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate ratri agame avashapartha. He is saying, bhuta grama se evayam bhutva bhutva praliyate. I create them and I destroy them again. So He unwinds the material universe and He winds it back again. Like that He does. So it is so easy for Him and He remains unaffected. Udasina vadasina. Asaktam Teshu Karma. He says, I am unattached and I am completely udasin, unaffected by it. So, when you understand the greatness of God, you may bow down to Him and salute Him. But one step beyond that understanding is to know the Lord's nature. What is His nature? He has the complete control of the whole universe. He can crush us to powder if He wants, but He will not do it. If He wants, He can punish the living entities, but He doesn't punish. He is extremely benevolent. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, if you just offer a tulasi to Him, He just becomes satisfied. You all know the story of how once in Dwaraka, when Narada came and told Lord Krishna that I want you to come with me. And all the queens said, you cannot take our Lord anywhere. So if you want, you can have as much gold as you want. So Satyabhama and other queens, they said, we will give you equivalent amount of tulabharam, gold, equal to Krishna. So Narada said, oh, that's a very good proposal. So I can get so much gold. Okay, put Krishna on one side. And the other side of the taraju, they put all their, bangles and jewelry and ornaments and necklaces. But then the weight went on increasing on the other side. But Krishna didn't budge 1 inch also. And the queens were wondering, all their ornaments were finished practically. At last Rukmini came, she said, the only way Krishna can be purchased is by having a tulasi. So she took one tulasi and put on the other side. Immediately Krishna went like that. So it's called tulasi. Tulasi means, jiski koi tulna nahi hai. That is tulasi. It is said. Nobody is comparable to her devotion. So, this is Krishna, who is easily purchasable by offering a tulasi when you offer bhoga to Him. In this way, Prahlad Maharaj says that, you can ever satisfy your mother and father, relatives and friends, your boss and in the company and the people in society. Because people's demands are very great in this world. But Krishna is very easy to satisfy. How? Patram pushpam palam toyam. That's why he asks. Even a poor man can offer these things. So Krishna's nature, when you understand, then your heart will develop more respect and love for him. And if you learn more about Krishna's characteristics and his principles based on which he works, like he is telling Muchukunda. Muchukunda, my Krishna says in many places, my eternal principle is not to give some chota mata material commodities to my devotees, but to give myself to my devotees. That's my eternal principle. And also, Lord tells Muchukunda, my eternal principle is, even if a devotee does little service for me, I never forget it for all time. I take note of it and I reciprocate at a timely hour, he says. And then Muchukunda, when he saw Krishna in the gufa, he asked, who are you? Are you some demigod? Are you God? I see that your lotus feet are not touching the ground. They are standing on a lotus. And you are above the ground level and your body is shining. You know, my eyes, which are supposed to burn down anybody whom I see, Muchukunda had that power. He had taken a boon from demigods. But when I look at you, my eyes have lost their burning power. And your body is like glowing like a sun. So he asked him, who are you? So he was actually ignorant of Krishna. Who he was, he didn't know. But then Krishna told him, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He had to tell him. In your previous lifetime, you were my pure devotee. Now you have forgotten. So I have come to give you my darshan. You see, even if you hanker to see God, you cannot see him unless you have done the homework to see him. Unless you have paid the price. But you have done the homework, even if you are sleeping, God will wake you up and give you darshan. You see, that's what happened to Muchukunda, you see. Lord woke up Muchukunda and gave him darshan, you see. He doesn't forget at all. He keeps in mind, he remembers whatever services a devotee has done. So these are Krishna's characteristics. Little service you do, he immediately thinks, how I can reciprocate back. You see, this Kubja was carrying some sandalwood for Kamsa. And then Krishna, Balram and covered boys, they were all entering into Mathura and they joked about Kubja, who was a very old hunchbacked lady. Trivakra, she is called. She has got a bends in her body, like a kuni. Kubdi we call. So Krishna joked to his friends, hey, look at this young, slender, beautiful looking young girl. See her, how she looks. And all the boys turned there and they had a big laugh. You are talking of some young girl. Look at her, she is so old. Her body is trembling. And you are talking of slender, you know, her body is like a kubdi, like a football. And all the friends had a good laugh seeing her body. And then Krishna saw her and asked her, what are you doing? Where are you going? She said, I am carrying this chandan for the king, Kamsa. Every day carry. And Krishna told her, if you offer this chandan to me, your life will become fortunate. So she saw Krishna Balram and she was so attracted to their beauty. And she immediately took the chandan and said, no problem, I'll offer it to both of you. And she applied it on Krishna's forehead and on his shoulders. And it was very cooling in the summer time for Krishna. He was very happy. And immediately Krishna thought, now how I can reciprocate back for her service. Because she has done some service to me. Now I should do something in return. Although she didn't ask anything in return. On his own he thought, I should do something in return. So immediately Krishna put his foot on her foot and caught hold of her cheeks and gave a shirk. He gave a jerk. Jerk he gave. Now, shirk means to be responsible. Don't think it is shirk, it is jerk. He gave her a jerk and lifted her head up like this and all her, that kubdi went off. She became a young, beautiful looking girl. Very, very attractive. As he actually had called her. Oh, young, beautiful looking, slender girl. That's how she became, by Krishna's touch. This is very deep meaning, this pastime. Prabhupada says, all of us in this world are like whom? like this kubja, and all living beings are ugly. See, ugly or beauty should not be seen based on face value. Cinema actors look very beautiful. Are they beautiful? They are ugly with their sinful activities. So we don't see somebody as beautiful or ugly based on external look, how they look like. You have to see based on their activities. So we all are like kobja. Why? Because we are carrying a pap karma boj on our back. We are carrying from so many lifetimes. And because of that we have become ugly. And in this life also, our mind is leaning towards sinful tendencies and sinful activities before we came across devotees. Suddenly Krishna came in our life through some devotee, isn't it? Some devotee came to your hostel, tapped the door, gave you a book, invited you for MMC, isn't it? Then you joined, gradually you joined the courses and everything, you became connected. So that's how, just like Kubja was walking and suddenly she came across Krishna on the way. Like that we all came across Krishna in our life at one point of time. And then they gave you a proposal. What did they tell you? See, all your nonsense friends are going in one direction. They are serving Maya. So you want to serve Maya or you want to serve Krishna? If you serve Krishna, you'll become fortunate. They told you, isn't it? Now, for example, in Kubja's case, if Kamsa comes to know that Kubja is serving Krishna and Balram, he would have even killed her. That was a risk she was running. Similarly, all of your professors, teachers, mother, father, relatives, friends, many people in society sometimes, some of you may not get support from them. They may even oppose also your Krishna consciousness. Just like when gopis wanted to go and join the rasa dance, there was so much opposition from the society. Similarly, to serve Krishna, there is a lot of opposition. How many of you faced opposition when you wanted to become Krishna conscious? See, good number of devotees, you face opposition. Your friends will pull you back. Similarly, Kubja was also being pulled back by Kamsa and her men. Because Kamsa need not come to the road to see Kubja. Somebody is watching in the road. Hey, this lady is carrying sandalwood for Kamsa. And now she is offering to Krishna Balaram. Immediately some mobile call will go to Kamsa, isn't it? Oh, my dear king, do you know? This lady is supposed to serve you. And she is applying the sandalwood on Krishna Balaram. Because Krishna Balaram is known as the enemy of Kamsa, Immediately Kamsa will arrange to kill her, put her in some death sentence or something. You see, she was running the risk. That is why Krishna says, Sarvadharmān parityaja māmekam śaraṇam vraja aham tvām sarvapāpebhyo mokṣayiṣyāmi mā śucah. Don't fear to take the risk, he is saying. Do not fear. You take risk. This is worthy of taking risk. Boys are running after girls and for that they take risk. Is it not true? How much risk they run? They are risking their examination papers. They are risking their mother and father. News will go. Many girls in Pune are covering their face, everything. Packing themselves, their body and going in scooter with boys. How much risk they take? Because if somebody finds out who this girl is, phone call will go to parents. Hey, I saw your girl going in a bike with another boy. Parents will say, hey, what are you doing? Stay at home. We will not let you go to college. Parents will stop her going to college. So girls are covering their face and everything. So people are taking risk for so many things. But for Krishna we can take risk. Krishna says, you take risk, no problem. So Kubja took a great risk of even being killed. And then she offered service to Krishna, offering the sandalwood part. Here also you all are rising early in the morning, chanting and dancing and taking care of the deities, taking care of Radha Kunj by the altar, taking prasad, studying, and some of you are going and preaching also. So you are rendering service. So when you render service, Krishna feels obliged immediately. He feels, these people are doing so much for me, these devotees. What I can do for them. So the result is, Krishna takes away our sinful reactions and sinful tendencies, and then a devotee becomes a beautiful devotee. Everyone can see that a devotee has become beautiful. Like a flower-like devotee, we say, He has become purified of all his misgivings and anarthas, and he is cheerfully situated in Krishna consciousness. Just like Kubja became a young, beautiful girl. Like that one becomes very beautiful. In this way, Prabhupada explains that we all can become truly beautiful in our life. So true beauty is spiritual beauty. It's not material beauty. Like Prabhupada was a 70-year-old man, but he was attracting young boys and girls like a magnet. How can a 70-year-old man attract so many young boys and girls? Can you imagine in this world? In India, if a man is a 70-year-old man walking with a stick in the road, will young boys and girls be attracted to him? Tell me. Have you ever seen 100 boys are surrounding him? Oh, he's looking at an old man. Have you ever seen in the street? Yeah, Prabhupada was a 70-year-old man. You know, he would, like, he came and got down in San Francisco from the flight when he was getting down. Even before he got down from the flight, there was roaring kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Everyone could hear. The whole airport was surcharged with the loud sound vibration of the holy name. Dude was playing mridangam and kartar. And then Prabhupada got down. Devotees came running, surrounding Prabhupada, and taking his luggage, and all of them, thada, they fell on the ground, offering obeisances, you know, without caring for the mud and caring for the dirt and dust on the ground. So the reporter, staff reporter, looked at Prabhupada, looked at the people, and you know, they were shocked. Right? In fact, they were standing at a little distance, and then the devotees came and surrounded Prabhupada. And Prabhupada came from San Francisco back to New York, that time. And then the devotees, Prabhupada called them one by one and very intimately talked to them confidentially, asked them about how they are doing. And then the reporters were with a stern face looking, watching for some time. And after it was over, then they came to Prabhupada and asked, Swamiji, you know, so this is the type of respect you get everywhere you go, you know. And Prabhupada told them, you know, I don't care how people respect me. I am more concerned about how they respect my mission. Prabhupada said, how seriously they take Krishna consciousness, that I am more concerned about. I am not concerned about whether they are bowing to me or not. And then Prabhupada said, yes, wherever I go, they bow like this because I haven't done any big favor for them. I have just connected them to God and they are all happy. And when they became ecstatic and happy, they are offering respects. So, in this way, a devotee becomes a very beautiful devotee. So, Prabhupada was seen as a very beautiful personality because of his genuine devotional service. That's what makes a person truly attractive. See, this attraction is such that now cinema actors and actresses, like in my days, when I was a college-going boy, there was a famous cricketer, you know, called Sunil Gavaskar in those days. Then he was so famous in his time, just like Tendulkar now. He was very famous in his times. Then gradually he became old, you know. Then he became an umpire, I think, for some time. And now God knows where is he, you know. People hardly talk about him. Or some Kapil or somebody, you know, they become a part of some advertisement for some period of time. After that, they are gone from there also. Nobody remembers them. Nobody talks about them afterwards. They have no place at all. But you can see, those who are true devotees, see, Prabhupada left the world in 1977. Right now, you can see how many devotees love him so fondly. With deep heart, and some of his dedicated disciples are serving him 40 years, 50 years, are given. So, that is genuine beauty. That is the true spiritual beauty. You know, this Motilal Nehru had one American chauffeur. He had an American watchman. Simply to show off to Indians that, see, I am such a great Indian that I have an American standing at my gate of my house. But you have to pay a very big salary for him. Yeah, because if you want a white elephant, you know, you have to pay, no? You know, you can't get very easily. So you have to pay a very big salary. If any of you want to have an American watchman in your house, you may have to pay monthly about 1 lakh rupees for him. Yeah, as a watchman, any of you want, you can try. It's not an easy thing. But then, devotee saw, you know, once Prabhupada was sitting, you know, one American devotee is doing chamar on one side, another side one American devotee is doing, you know, peacock feather is. And Prabhupada said, see, I'm not paying anything to these guys. And there, like once when one devotee was doing chamar for Prabhupada, one staff reporter asked, Swamiji, why these people are waving this chamar for you? Prabhupada said, because it is hot. Very coolly Prabhupada said. So next time the staff reporter came, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada also sat down, you know, along with the reporter. Reporter asked, Swamiji, last time you were sitting here, this time you are sitting with me, why? Because if I sit there, you'll be envious of me. Prabhupada said, so I'm sitting with you equally, on equal level with you. So, Prabhupada was served by hundreds and thousands of American boys and girls. They didn't take a single penny salary from him. Why? Because Prabhupada awoke love of Krishna in their hearts, you see. And Prabhupada was so attractive because of being a pure devotee of Krishna. So this is real beauty. So, I've gone too far in this point. I was telling you, Krishna's characteristic is what? That if you do little service for him, he never forgets it. He is very attentive. And if somebody commits some, you know, small mistakes, then Krishna closes his eyes, it is said. And somebody has done small service, that he, with wide open eyes, he sees. That he doesn't forget. He sees the brighter side of every tiny living entities. He's extremely magnanimous. Similarly, we also have to learn about Krishna's transcendental pastimes. They're very important. If you don't learn these pastimes, then we will go for time pass. Opposite of pastime is what? Time pass. What is time pass? They sell in the trains and buses, you know, time pass magazines. You have seen that? So many magazines they carry, time pass, and they are selling. And they are very dangerous time pass it is. Because if you see, they are all dirty pictures, full of dirty pictures. Cinema, you know, Deborah Iyer, Cine Blitz, and all this kind of, you know, cinemas, you know, what is it? Stardust and all these things they are selling. And you get it at 2 rupees or 5 rupees or whatever price. And they are calling it as time pass. Time certainly passes whether you read it or not. But by reading them, then time will pass while we'll be preparing ourselves to go to hell. Very dangerous it is. So, why people don't know how to kill time when they are traveling? Because they are not reading the pastimes of the Lord from the scriptures. If you read Mahabharata, Ramayana, Bhagavata, they are so exhaustive, you know. Your one life is not enough. Even your 70, 80 years we are living in this world, that is not enough to understand the scriptures. They are so exhaustive. In fact, in Mahabharata, there are so many tributary stories. You know, tributaries, just like a river, and then there is one tributary, and then multiple tributaries. There is so much, my Lord. In fact, that will develop your, you know, intellectual acumen also. If you read them, you will learn how to speak a main subject and go here, there, to tributaries, go there, and then come back to the main again. It will go like that if you read Mahabharata, Ramayana, and all. There are lots actually, Bhagavatam also. So these are pastimes of the Lord. And these pastimes are so wonderful. We can learn about Krishna very deeply when we read these pastimes, about his sweet nature, about his wonderful nature. That's what she is saying. Na veda kaschit bhagavam chikirshitam. Chikirshitam means wonderful pastimes. Taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam. She is telling, my dear Lord, by seeing these pastimes, the living beings of this world can get bewildered. Why? Because sometimes you are behaving like an ordinary human being. You become controlled by Yashoda. She is carrying a stick and running behind you. How can God behave like this? You know, you become sold out. You become sold out to the Vrijabasis. Your friends are climbing on your shoulders. You know, your friends are playing kabaddi with you, they are pulling your leg. Sometimes you get defeated by your friends. So when anybody sees these things, they may misunderstand you. But then, you will find that Krishna not only behaves like a human being, he also behaves like God sometimes. Suddenly he lifts a Govardhan hill. One day, isn't it? He opens his mouth and shows the whole Brahmanda within his mouth, or he shows the Vishwarupa Darshan and all that. So even Vrijabasis, due to their intense love for Krishna, they don't know his post as God. They forget it generally. Just like imagine one of you tomorrow, you become a collector in India. Imagine you become you do IAS and you become a collector. of a very big town. And gradually, not only you are a collector, you become a MLA or you become an MP, and one day you become a PM of India, Prime Minister of India. So you may be holding a big position, like, you know, or you are an engineer, say you become a works manager in some engineering company. So when you come home, your mother may hardly call you, Mr. Works Manager, please eat your prasad. Will she ever call you? Does that post matter to her in any way? You know, you may say, I'm holding such a big position in the company. When you go to company, your other colleagues and subordinates may salute you. Because they are in a different relationship with you. But at home, your mother doesn't care at all. One devotee was telling a very beautiful example, which was thrilling to hear. He was telling about the nature of devotees. He said, people who are working as workers in a lathe and all, lathe, milling machine, drilling machine and all that, you know, they get some, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 rupees salary. And they work like sometimes 12 to 14 hours a day. Isn't it? But there is somebody called a supervisor above them. He gets something like, you know, 15,000 to 20,000 rupees salary. And he may work for about 8 hours a day. He may just make sure that the machines are engaged, the men are engaged, and he will make a tabulation schedule and he may go. And he earns like 15,000 rupees. And then above him there are works manager or somebody. And he never leaves the cabin. He sits in his own table only. And under him there are 20 supervisors. He may earn 40,000 to 50,000 rupees, that man. And he doesn't work 8 hours also. He may work about 5-6 hours. And some days he even goes for other visits and all, other places. And above him, you know, there is the MD of the company. Of course, MD may be very busy with telephones and everything. But he may come to the company probably about, you know, 4 hours, 5 hours. And he earns sometimes about 1 lakh rupees or something. And the owner of the company, he may not visit the company at all. Or if he visits also, he comes at 12 and goes at 2 back. Just comes for a couple of hours. And that too not to do any work. Why he comes there? Just to see how things are going. He just goes for a supervision and then he just goes for a round, meets people, and the MD is reporting to himself. These are the reports. He sees that and then he pushes off, isn't it? And of course, he has many companies to visit, so he visits 2 hours. Each day he goes to different companies. And when he returns home, his wife, you know, of course, this owner, how much he earns? He may be earning monthly 5 lakh or 10 lakh rupees. You know, every month he may be eventually making a very big turnover, 50 lakhs or whatever. Big amount. So, but when this owner goes home in the beginning of the month, he takes his whole monthly earning 10 lakhs or whatever and gives it to his wife. And she keeps it in the bureau. Now his wife may not even know the name of the company. If you ask her what the name of the company, many wives in India, they are uneducated. They don't even know. But why is she getting all the money without doing any work? She gets why? Because this man is getting some love from her. You know, she serves him some prasad. She talks to him sweetly. You know, she is occupying his heart. So he's giving. So a devotee is like that. One devotee was telling. A devotee may not be very learned in the Vedas, Upanishads, and you know, or he may not be working hard like the materialistic people. But if he knows the art of loving Krishna, then Krishna gives himself to the devotee completely. Krishna becomes purchased by the devotee. He was selling. Krishna becomes purchased. These are all Krishna's natures. Prabhupada says here, his pastimes appear to be exactly like a human being's, but actually they are transcendental and without any tinge of mental contamination. And then Prabhupada is saying, by utilizing the sun rays, sometimes even the stones become valuable, whereas a blind man cannot see the sun, although there are enough sun rays before him. The sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacities of the receptacles differ. Foolish people think that the pure devotees who are engaged in transcendental loving service of the Lord are... foolish people think that the devotion service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. You know, flattering, chapalusi. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. The mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service into the Lord for such exchange. And therefore, the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. And then, see, Prabhupada is talking about three types of people. So, regarding pure devotees, Prabhupada is saying they are 100% engaged in Lord's service. They never render service for any expectation in return. This is Bhagavad Dharma. You all know this? You remember I was once telling you the story of how a king was passing through a forest and, you know, it was his birthday. He wanted to give a gift to somebody. Anybody remember the story? You know, he had a golden coat. Isn't it? Yeah?
He wanted to give something.
So, one passing man. So, what did he ask this king?
That button.
The king was having big, big spherical buttons on his coat. And they were all gold buttons. So, the man said, my dear king, if you don't mind, can you please give me one button? If you give one button, my one life will pass. It is such a costly, big, big buttons you are having. The king said, what is so great about it? Just plucked out one button and gave him, isn't it? Whereas another man passing in the road, what did he ask for?
I don't want anything, I just want to be your friend.
I just want to be your friend, he said. Then the king thought, what does this mean? If he just wants to be my friend, he doesn't want anything from me, then what can I give him then? He said, ask me something. And he said, nothing. And then the king thought, if he has to be my friend, then, you know, friend means, you know, we have to play together. We have to eat together. So then he picked up the man, put him in his chariot and took him with him. Then in the court, the man was always sitting by the side of the king. You know, he was eating with the king in the same dining table. He was playing with the king. He lived in a big palace with the king. So Bhagavatam says, if you make friendship with God, then you will live with God. And don't ask him anything. Asking him for something is foolishness. Don't ask him for anything. Just like, there is another principle also. Like, for example, a man who met a man with great difficulty went to meet a very, very rich man, very big man. See, meeting rich people is very difficult. But then, when he went to meet the rich man, Giriraj Swami was telling this. The rich man was inside and, you know, hundreds of people were waiting. You know, this Giriraj Swami, he called the rich man's small boy. And he just called him and he asked him, what's your name? And told his name, where are you studying? He asked him. And then he talked to him very sweetly. He gave him some Krishna prasad. The boy ate and said, oh, this prasad is very delicious. I never eaten anything like this in my life. The boy was very much appreciating. So he gave him some pictures to this boy, some laminations. So the small boy kept. So he talked to this boy in such a friendly way. Later on, when he went to meet this rich man, this boy came into the office and said, Papa, Papa, this uncle is so good. I have never met such a gentleman like this. He said, Father said, really? It's wonderful. You have made my son very happy. I am very happy. So Maharaj just met him and then Maharaj came back. Later on, when Maharaj was trying to call, see, trying to call sometimes big people is very tough. You all know there is one intermediate person. You know who it is? The secretary. You know? The secretary generally doesn't allow you to talk to the rich man. So Maharaj called the secretary and said, I want to talk to the rich man. And the secretary said, no, you cannot talk. You know, who are you? This, that. Maharaj said, no, I don't want to talk to the rich man. I want to talk to his child because I know him. You tell my name. So he told the child. Child immediately said, give me the phone. He took it and said, and then he was talking, Hare Krishna uncle. You know, he talked to him a few minutes. And I will tell my papa, don't worry, you come in the evening today. But he said, but you want to check with your father? No, 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 my father will never say no to me. So he went in the evening and the father gave a big check, some $20 million or something. He said, you have made my son so happy. Because, you know, so many guys come here, nobody makes my child happy. So then he was telling, if you make Krishna's devotees happy, in the same manner you can get Krishna also very easily. That is another principle of Krishna, you see. If you make Krishna's very dear devotee happy, he has a easy access to Krishna and you can win Krishna's heart more easily than when you try to endeavor to please him directly. That's why, because a pure devotee, Prabhupada says, pure devotees do not flatter the Lord to get special mercy. Because pure devotees don't go for any material commodities at all, correct? They simply want to love Krishna and serve him. They are not a mercantile community. Mercantile means they are not merchants. Even our Prahlad Maharaj said, Savai Vanik. He said, Vanik, I'm not a Vanika, he said. When Narsingadeva asked Prahlad, Prahlad, ask me for something, I'll give you. You know what Prahlad said? You all repeat this beautiful verse. Mamam praloba yotpatya.
Mamam praloba yotpatya.
Sattam kame shutair varaihi.
Sattam kame shutair varaihi.
Tatsanga bhito nirvinno.
Tatsanga bhito nirvinno.
Mumukshastvam upashritaha.
Yadi
dasyasi me kamaan. Varamstvam varadarshava. Kamanam hridi asamroham. Bhavatastu vrinevaram. See, Prahlad is saying, my dear Lord, I am born in a demoniac family of Hiranyakashipu. Don't give me any pralobhan of material things. Because if you give me pralobhan, I may become attracted. Because already I have temptations of coming from such a type of family. Just like all of you. Say, if you had a habit of watching TV all the time. One of your friends calls you to his room and there is a TV there. And then friend says, you know, you can remain in my room a few days. And then you may say, hey, don't give me any temptation. Because as long as the TV is on. Like some devotees from Pune, we went for some yatra. So in Jagannath Puri, they were put in this lodge to stay, you know. So they stayed in the lodge, but one problem in the lodge was every room had a TV, you know. So, one devotee was watching TV. Rathyatra is going on, and one of the boys, he was watching the TV. So, one devotee came to room to take something, and then he, you know, saw through the window, this devotee was watching TV. Then, immediately opened the door, even immediately the devotee, you know, changed the channel. And after change the channel, you found the Rathyatra card on the screen. So, the devotee was saying, oh, I was seeing the Jagannath Rathkat Yatra. Oh, you are seeing that? Because you have a tendency to go to the other channels. Is it not true? There are so many channels like that. Sometimes even a devotee may wear tila, kantimala, you know, wear dhoti kurta, but then the old vasanas are not gone. Again, they may come back to us. Given a chance, we may fall down. Right now, all of you are surrounded by so many devotees here. Even to fall down also, you are afraid. If you fall down, they will catch you. All devotees will catch you. Before falling only, they will catch you. Prabhuji, how are you trying to fall down? They will catch you. Isn't it? But when you are away from devotee sangha, you know, when you are at home, that's a good chance for falling down. Seriously, yeah. So many temptations. You see a newspaper, you see some dirty pictures in the newspaper, you see some woman's picture, and then you go mad. You look here and there, nobody is there, you cut and keep it with you safely. I can keep it in some book, when nobody is there, I can keep watching. What is there in a picture? It is simply a paper. Simply that, but the paper is an illusory paper. Dangerous paper, yeah. You go. It's all simply made of five, conglomeration of five elements. Bhumi rapo analo vayu kam. But because we are mad, we are illusioned. When we are away from devotees, there is a good chance of falling down. So Prahlad is saying, my dear Narasimha, do not tempt me with my old things. When I was a materialist, of course he was never a materialist. He was always a devotee. Even in the womb, he was a devotee. But a devotee's nature is always to be humble. He's telling, you know, I may become attracted and tempted by the worldly things. Don't show me. Inside my body, the demoniac blood is flowing. Because I'm son of Hiranyakashipu. So don't tempt me with those materialistic things, he's telling. And then Narasimha is saying, no, you have to ask me for something. I have to give you something. Then he said, Yadi dasyasi me kaman. One more verse he said. He said, Aham
tvakamas
tvadbhaktaha.
Tvam cha swami anapashrayaha.
Nanyate havayorartho.
Nanyate
Raja sevakayoriva.
My
dear Lord, you are a Raja, I am your Sevak. He said, you are my Swami, I am your Das. That's the only relationship I have, he said. And I don't want anything from you. But if you want to give me something, he said, you know what he said? Destroy all material desires in my heart. That work you do for me, he said. I don't want anything else. So Prabhupada is saying here, the pure devotees are not a mercantile community. He said, I am not a vanika, he said. And then he told Narasimha, if I ask you for something, then it will become like a business deal. I gave you devotional service and then you gave me something in return. What a foolish idea it is to demand something from you. Even in your own friendship with other boys, those who are very transparent and those who love you for nothing in return, you know, that love is something which you will value the most. You know, imagine if somebody comes to you once in a while, you know, very rarely he comes to you and says, hi, how is everything here? You know, he asks, you say everything is nice. You have that GRE book with you, you know. I thought I'll take it for a few days and go through it. So if you know that this boy only meets me for demanding some favor, will you develop some love for him? Never. So that is why pure devotees never go to the Lord for any favor. So full mercy of the Lord is open to the pure devotee, Prabhupada says. And then he is saying there are mixed devotees. A suffering man prays to the Lord for recovery, but as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases, no longer he cares to keep the connection with the Lord. You see, like you all go to doctor when you get sick, and then he gives a medicine, some blue pill, green pill, yellow pill. Okay, you come back, you take it morning, afternoon, evening. He tells you to take it for, say, 1 week, and you took it for 3 days, and your fever is gone, your disease is gone. You know, then what do you do with the rest of the medicine? You just throw it here and there. You know, you don't care to keep it also. And how many of you call the doctor back and tell him, sir, I have got cured now? Do we do that? We forget the doctor just like we forgot the medicine. Once you get little better. You see? So we forget to keep connection with the doctor because we don't feel the need of any connection. Correct, no? Like that only some people do with God. They go to God when they have trouble. When they have sankat, they go to God. And then when sankat is finished, then they say, bye-bye, now I am happy now. Now they are in their own world now. Till they get another sankat, when they will run back to God again. Yeah, you will see that this is the nature of most people. You see, they are called mixed devotees. Why mixed? Because their goal is sense gratification and they also take God into account sometimes. Inquisitive people, philosophical people, they make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. They are called partial recipients of Lord's mercy. A pure devotee is a full recipient of God's mercy. A mixed devotee is a partial recipient of God's mercy because they keep only temporary connection. See, keeping temporary connection is not very helpful. Just like in ISKCON, we try to make very rich people into devotees of Krishna. Why? Because if they become devotees, then not only will they give money, they will also render devotion service. Is it not true? Otherwise, what happens? You go to the rich man only during Janmashtami time, you know. As soon as he sees you, he'll say, oh, I think this is Janmashtami season, I think, correct? You have come to see me. Because Janmashtami time, you'll come to collect donation, you know. Other times, you don't come. They will complain like that, correct? Because some people are really genuine. They are interested. They say, please come to my house once in a week. Teach me some Bhagavad Gita. Please, I want to learn. But if you don't go, you just go for money collection, then they will not have respect for you. In the same manner with Lord also, some people keep only temporary connection. And the third category, Baba says, are the demons. They are completely against service of the Lord. They are in complete darkness. He says, these are demons. See, what is the nature of demon? All of you repeat this verse. Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva.
Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Daiva.
Asurastat Viparyayaha.
Asurastat
Viparyaya means whatever God says, I am against it. That is the meaning of who? A demon, asura. Another meaning of asura is asu means immediate. Ashivar, asu. Ra means Raman, enjoy. Those who want immediate enjoyment, they are called demons. Instant pleasure. That is called as demon. You see, in the Samudra Manthan Leela, you find the Lord told everyone that please, all of you, he said, listen to me attentively, demigods. He told them, when you do Samudra Manthan with the Vasuki, demons on one side and demigods on the other side, when you do it, he said, many, many things will come from the ocean, milk ocean. But you should not be greedy to pick up anything. Uccheshrava, horse comes, and Airavat, elephant comes, Varuni, woman, she comes, Rama comes, so many things will come. But don't pick up any of those gifts, the Lord said. Don't be attracted to any of those gifts. Don't be greedy, that's one thing He said. And don't become greedy, don't become lusty, and don't become angry. Three things the Lord said. And don't be fearful. He said, halahala, kalakota, halahala will come. That will be drunk by Lord Shiva. Lord told him in advance only, even before it all happened. Kalakota will come, that will be taken by Shiva, don't worry. And then He said that at last Amrit will come. But all of you should be very, very patient, He said. See, this is very much similar to our heart. In our heart also there is a demoniac tendencies and divine, demigod tendencies. So there is a churning going on. Sometimes, you know, Krishna consciousness is very relishable for you, very enjoyable. Other times it's very boring for you. Sometimes you think, oh, why did I become Krishna conscious? I would have enjoyed like my friends. We think like that. That time demoniac qualities come out. Sometimes divine quality comes and you are very happy in Krishna consciousness. So, like the many gifts come, in your life also many gifts will come in between. You may become a topper in your class, or you may get a very high paying job, like one of our devotees got, you know, 10 lakh per annum job. He comes from a very poor family. So he said, Prabhuji, if I get a big job in Pune, then only I'll be able to come. I have a lot of debt to finish for my parents. So he was applying, and then when he was applying, he got a very good job. He got this 10 lakh per annum. And that too in Pune. He said, in Pune, jobs don't pay so much. But he got his job. So, Krishna may sometimes, send many benedictions, and a devotee should know that if you become attracted to those things, then we may carry them and run away, and we may forget Krishna, you know. So, Krishna is telling them, Vishnu is telling them, don't become attracted to them, and don't forget me, and don't become intoxicated when you get them, he told. And then, halahal will come, that will be taken by Lord Shiva. Similarly, our spiritual master is the Vaishnava who represents Lord Shiva. He's the most compassionate, who takes our halahal poison off our past sinful reactions at the time of initiation. He takes away that. Because if he doesn't take that, that itself will kill us. He takes away our sinful reactions. At last, Amrit will come, Krishna Prem, which will be given by Krishna to us. And we can never snatch it hurriedly. So the demons, in the beginning Lord Vishnu told the demons, Lord Vishnu brought the Vasuki snake and said, oh demons, you take this tail end, and he told the demigods, you take the head end, and both of you churn. Immediately demons had a small meeting. They said, hey, what is this? Aher puccham amangalam, they said. This punch of snake is amangalam. It is inauspicious. He has given us the backside. Lord Vishnu is insulting us. Then he told Lord Vishnu, no, we are not coming for this game. You are playing a foul game, they said. Why? But why are you giving us the backside of the snake? We want the front side. Then Lord Vishnu told the demigods, okay, give them the front side. And demigods immediately gave it back. See, the meaning of a demigod means you never oppose the Lord's plan. Whatever Lord says, you salute and accept. Because you know He is my well-wisher. Then they got the head side and demigods took the tail side. And when they started, churning like this, then the Vasuki snake was feeling so much of karshan going on. Started emanating poisonous smoke. Mouth and all of that came on the faces of the demons, and they were all sniffing and crying. You see, when I first heard it, one thought came to my mind. You see, in village, we go in bullock carts. Are there any bullock carts accidents? No. One bullock cart was passing in the road fastly and 200 people died. You hear that? You don't hear at all. So, bullock cart means no accident, or even bicycle. In villages, people use bicycle. Very safe. Only thing is you have to endeavor. Bicycle means you have to pedal. And man thought, oh, why should we have a bicycle? Let us invent something new, which even God did not invent. And what is that? Motorbike, scooter or something. And then once you have a scooter, all the smoke comes out. Isn't it? Carbon monoxide pollution. Pune has a very high degree of pollution. You all know that? If you go in Pune city, the pollution level has crossed the danger limits. Do you know that? So man thought, we will create a comfort which God has not given. Yes, you have the comfort, but in return what you have to get? The smoke, just like the demons got. The smoke of Vasuki on their faces. That you have to suffer. You see? Just like this van now. You know, either you tolerate the sound or you tolerate the heat. Correct? Correct, no? If your ears are attentive, you can hear the sound. Isn't it? So, we may invent many things in this world, but we can't invent them without any trouble. Can see that. So, the demons, they were very cunning. You know what they thought? Already we are the ruling party now, and demigods are all weaklings now. They have lost everything. So, when the Amrit comes, we will kick out the demigods and we will eat all the Amrit. That was their plan. That is why they agreed for a truce. They came. So, when the Amrit Kalash was brought by Dhanvantri out of the milk ocean, immediately the demon snatched it from his hand and they ran away. You see? So, Lord had told nobody should act against the Lord's interest. But they acted against the Lord. In fact, they are snatching from the Lord's hand only. Can you imagine? Can anybody snatch something from Vishnu's hands? How foolish one will be. Vishnu said, so you are trying to cheat me. Now just wait and watch how I will cheat you now. Then the Lord Vishnu assumed a beautiful form of a Mohini Murti. The Mohini Murti had blackish eyes like a bumblebee. She had a very slender waist. She was wearing silken clothes, such a fine silk cloth, and all the golden ornaments and a jeweled belt and necklace and long flowing hair. And her sidelong glance was so attractive. And she looked at every demon one by one. And all demons were twisting their mustaches. She is looking at me. They were thinking, oh, she is attracted to me. And then, it's a very long pastime. Another time we'll discuss only that pastime. So they handed over the jar of Amrit to her. Like a perfect gentleman they behaved. In front of women, boys become extremely gentle. You will see that. In your college also you will see, even the rough and tough boys, when girls are coming, a group of girls are standing, immediately they will behave like perfect gentlemen. So these fellows wanted to show that we are perfect gentlemen. Please take it. This is the psychology of man in front of woman. You see? And she said, how can you put trust in me? I am a loose woman wandering alone like a prostitute. How can you put faith in me and hand over such an amrit jar to me? If you allow me to distribute it in the way I want, and you should not raise any objection, then only I'll distribute, she said. And they all said, yes, we give you the freedom. Can you imagine? You see? So surprising it is. See, the same Vishnu, from his hand they snatched, and the same Vishnu took it back in another form. And after Mohini Murti distributed to all the demigods, all the demons were all grumbling and groaning and mumbling, and grinning and gritting their teeth and all that. But they didn't say anything because they had to keep the promise. And then she completely cheated them after distributing to all the demigods. Immediately she assumed the form of Vishnu, Shankh Chakra Gada Padma, turned back and said, bye bye demons. Went away. You see? So, now comes a very important question here. He's saying, some people say Lord Vishnu is partial to demons, partial to devotees. And Prabhupada says, such partiality in receiving Lord's mercy is relative to recipient and not due to partiality of the all-merciful Lord. See, Lord is never partial. Like some people ask a question, hey, Lord is taking, defeating Bali and taking the kingdom and giving it to Indra. You see that. Or we find Lord is cutting off the head of Shishupal. Is it not true? So Lord seems to be, against the demons. Lord, here also Lord gave all the Amrit to the demigods and he cheated the demons. So is it justice? Is the Lord balanced and equal to both, or is the Lord one-sided? Seems that Lord is taking the side of demigods. So if any of you face this question from your friends, so what answer will you give? Lord seems to be siding the demigods. In these examples I gave you. Let us hear two. There are three answers from seniors. Okay. Any answer from the younger devotees? Juniors have any answer? They have no answer. Yeah?
So Lord reciprocated with us, just like we reciprocated. Lord reciprocated. Because in that demon
Lord did it for that. Right. That is one answer behind, yeah. Yetam Prabhupada formula. That's a tit for tat, yeah. Yes?
Lord is just like a loving father. The loving father is having a naughty child and a very good child.
Naughty child wants to take away the toys of the good child.
So
father or mother may give a slap to the child and pick up the toy and give it back.
It is not that the father is envious of the child. It's just like a loving slap to make him disciplined.
Yeah. That is a very good answer also. Like, you know, the mother may embrace one child and slap another child. Although she loves both of them equally. Because one child is a well-behaved child, another child is a naughty child who is doing some mischievous activities. Yeah, that's a very good answer. Like Lord took away the kingdom from Bali and gave it back to Indra because it belonged to Indra originally. See, the demigods will never try to usurp the kingdom of the demons. But the demons want their kingdom also and demigod's kingdom also. Then the Lord gives them a slap and tells them, give it back. This I have given you, just like America and Iran now. Now America has abundant wealth, but they want to wage a war against Iran and loot all the oil wells. Correct? Because they want. And when in one of the meetings and arguments, one American leader has made a statement, God's wealth is meant for all. So the oil, what you have is not, you may be living in Iran, but that doesn't mean that all oil belongs to you only. So then the Iran leader said, that means American capitalistic wealth, all wealth also should be equally divided to us also. They can argue, if you say our oil should be divided, then your money should be divided also. You are having so much money, you are the biggest money in the whole world. So, God is so kind that everyone, he has given them something. India has given Vedic culture, America has given some money, and Gulf, he has given some oil. For everyone, he has given. And one should not try to usurp someone else's property. So, when we try to usurp another property, then God comes. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkritam. Yeah. Like for example, a woman should never be punished according to Shastra. But both Ram and Krishna, they killed one woman in the beginning. Ram killed one Tadaka and Krishna killed Putana. Yeah. Puta means pure. Na means not. Puta, na means one whose intentions are not pure. She came to kill Krishna. So, why Krishna killed these two ladies, Krishna and Ram? Actually, Lord would never want to kill a woman, but these people were destroying Brahminical culture. Like killing the cows, passing stool and urine in the Yajnakund, eating the saintly people, burning the hermitages, breaking down the gopurams, cutting down the pious trees like mango trees, jackfruit trees and all these trees. Having a huge body and picking up people and eating them like a yaksha. This kind of... So if the rakshasas or rakshasis are creating too much trouble for the propagation of Brahminical culture. See, Brahminical culture means study of the Vedas, worship of the cows, performance of yajna. And varnashrama. This is Brahminical culture. And this Brahminical culture ultimately is aimed at going back home, back to Godhead. If somebody is putting a stumbling block in that, then Krishna kills them. Just like Hiranyakashipu was killed. And Tadaka is killed and all that. Anybody. So the demons are opposed to Brahminical culture. In fact, Hiranyakashipu wanted to kill Vishnu. Do you know that? He said, if I kill Vishnu, it's like cutting down the root of a tree. Then all the tree will dry up, he was telling. Can you imagine? See, you can compare Hiranyakashipu and Dhruva Maharaja. There are some similarities, there are some opposites. What similarities do you find in Hiranyakashipu and Dhruva? Yeah? Both had material desires, okay. What else? Both were determined, yeah. What are similarities? Both were very ambitious. Highly ambitious, over ambitious. Dhruva wanted a kingdom better than Brahma also. And Hiranyakashipu also wanted all the three worlds. They were both over ambitious. And what are the differences between the two?
Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom. His intention was different. And
Hiranyakashipu was envious of Lord Vishnu. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj was not envious. He loved Lord Vishnu. In fact, when he saw Vishnu, he forgot the kingdom. He fell in love with Vishnu. Whereas Hiranyakashipu was against Vishnu because his brother was killed by Vishnu. So he wanted to kill Vishnu. That's one main difference. Second one, what are the difference? Anybody else? What is another difference between Dhruva and Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu wanted a dishonest means. He wanted to trick Brahma and get Amaratva. Cheat Brahma. So he asked boons to trick Brahma. Whereas Dhruva Maharaj was ready to adopt an honest path by which he can attain a very difficult to achieve goal. Yeah, he was very honest, Dhruva Maharaj. What else?
Dhruva Maharaj, he followed his spiritual master. Hiranyakashipu was trying to
independently. Dhruva Maharaj followed his guru, Narada Muni. But Hiranyakashipu did something on his own. He didn't approach Narada at all. And he didn't treat Narada as his guru at all. Very good point, yeah.
Dhruva Maharaj was dependent on Lord Krishna for his benediction.
Yes. Dhruva Maharaj depended on Lord Krishna to achieve his benediction, whereas Hiranyakashipu went to Brahma. Actually, why demons go to demigods? Because they can't go to Vishnu. If they go to Vishnu, Vishnu will say, you know, why are you asking for a benediction that will harm the living beings? Like Bhasmasura, can he go to Vishnu and say, give me a boon, I can touch everyone's head and crack it? Because Vishnu will not give it. Vishnu will say, how can you ask such a boon? You are a fool. Why do you want to cause harm to other living beings? That is why they go to demigods. Always. Like Ravana wants to enjoy Sita, another man's wife. Again, it's a condemnable activity. So, you will find that the demons have... So, the Lord is not partial to demons. The Lord is actually... why did the Lord give Amrit to only demigods? Because the demigods, if they eat Amrit and if they live long, it's very good. Because demigods will promote Vedic culture and they will send everyone back home, back to Godhead. Is it not? And the demons eat Amrit. My Lord, they will do atrocious activities. One Ravana was doing so much atrocity. Isn't it? You imagine, it's like feeding Amrit to Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha and all those fellows. If you feed them Amrit, my Lord, they will increase the miseries of living entities. You understand? They'll kill cows by organized slaughterhouses. Very, very deadly, like in the modern times also, there is an asuric category of people and you know, Daivi Sampath. ISKCON is trying to increase the Daivi Sampath in the world by preaching and propagating the Vedic culture. Actually, the nature of Vedic people is they love every living being. Even if they see a caterpillar, Prabhupada saw a caterpillar in a room, he told it, you were to get a leaf. He picked up the caterpillar and a leaf and said, leave this caterpillar in the green. He will enjoy that, he said. So a Vedic person means one who thinks about the welfare of every, what is that verse? Sarve janaha sikhino bhavantu. But the demons means, you know, put a bomb in the train. So many were killed, very good, we killed so many people. You know, they enjoy creating tension amongst the people. Terrorists. These are demons. You know, people are coming to temple to take darshan. There they are putting, just like in this Varanasi, there is one Sankat Mochan Hanuman Mandir. There they put a bomb blast. It is a small temple, this much size only. So people come there to pray to Hanuman for relieving from Sankat Mochan, it is called. There they are giving Sankat to people. You see? They are putting a bomb, bomb blast in a temple. Nowadays, temple is a place people go to peacefully worship. Even there is danger nowadays. Crazy fellows, you see. These are called asuras, asuric mentality, killing the cows. You can have asuras even amongst the teachers and professors. There is one professor in one big college. You know, he's telling, why are we separating the girls and boys' hostels? Just keep them together. The same hostel, yeah. Let them not see any difference. Let them treat one another equally, you know. He's telling. So girls are going into boys' rooms, boys are coming to girls' rooms. Before passing 4th year B, they're begetting children in the college only. The parents come running to college, you know, my daughter has already been begotten a child. Who is that rascal who impregnated her? Catch him. And some village, 20 people come with a talwar and everything. Aye, who is the boy? If you don't marry our daughter, we will finish you right now. And in college only, marriage also takes place. After begetting child. You see? So these asuras promote anti-Vedic culture. Yeah. They are saying, you know, why not we have co-ed, you know, boys, girls should be allowed to freely sit in the same benches together. Why do you differentiate? And like in one college, they had a vegetarian hostel. There were 13 hostels, out of which 12 were non-veg hostels. One was vegetarian. And this director came and he said, what is the need of vegetarian hostel? Let that hostel also be made into non-veg. He proposed. And people asked the question, sir, some boys come from Hindu families, they want to eat veg. They want a vegetarian hostel. He said, we should train our boys to eat non-veg right here. That should be a training. Because tomorrow they have to go around the world, you know. They will go to Germany, London, everywhere, and they should, you should give them training to eat meat, he's saying. This is Asura, you see? The meaning of an Asura. Asura means we want to train you in breaking the four regs. Like I was working in this company, one company. So in our, when they had called us for a, in Executive Ashoka Hotel, they had a yearly meet. So I had also gone. Big, big managers wearing coat, suit, tie. On one side there were hot drinks, on another side there were soft drinks. So they are telling young boys, our young boys are, you know, they are all GETs, very shy. So they went and took soft drinks. And this big men are saying, "Hare, you young guys, you should be smart. Come on, chalo, take these hot drinks. Take rum, take whiskey, take at least beer, you know. What is the problem? Why are you so shy? You are going and taking soft drinks. Soft drinks are for women. This is for men. You should take this." And then they are saying that tomorrow you will be wearing coat suit like us and you will become big managers. Come on, chalo, learn to drink. And those who are drinking, one big manager I saw, he was running from one end of the hall to another end of the hall, screaming like a horse. Ha ha, he was running after drinking. one big manager in our company, can you imagine? They lost all good sense. They are mad. So these are asuras who are promoting asuric culture. Just see. Don't think asura means he has two horns. He has teeth like this. Don't think like that. Asura means you can have asuras nowadays also. This kind of asuras promoting anti-Vedic culture. So, and such people, what they do? They will say, why do you say Duryodhana is bad? Duryodhana is very good. Those who are arguing, what does that mean? Like one fellow in Tamil Nadu, he wrote a book called Ravana Kavyam, you know. He made Ravana the hero, in that book. Why they do that? Because they want to promote Asuric culture. Like in Bombay also they had this, no? Bhakti nahi dekhi, yeah? Shakti nahi dekhi. Shakti dekhi, bhakti nahi dekhi. In TV they were showing, no? Promoting Ravana as a hero, you see. Simply these are asuras, very dangerous asuras, modern day asuras, high-tech asuras. Like the Prabhupada saying. So, such partiality in receiving Lord's mercy is relative to recipient and not due to partiality of the all-merciful Lord. See, when heavy rains come here, you know, there are so many nice greenery growing here. Is it not true? But if the rain falls on a cement floor, will any greenery grow there? Rather, it will catch moss. If somebody is walking on the floor, they will slip and fall down. Is it not true? The same rain falling on the cement, falling on the ground, isn't it? That's it. Similarly, when the Lord's mercy showered on a devotee, devotee benefits immensely. But a non-devotee, Lord is giving mercy, he cannot accept. He rejects the mercy, even though Lord gives mercy. Nature of a demon. And then Prabhupada explains, who is a sadhu? Sadhu means a saintly person or devotee. He has nothing to do with the worldly honesty or morality or dishonesty or immorality. Nothing in connection to material activities. Sadhu acts on a transcendental platform. As in loving affairs, the Lord and the devotee want to please each other. Sadhu hridayam vahyam, sadhu naam hridayam tvaham. Lord comes not to deliver the sadhu from clutches of matter, from which he is already liberated, but to please the devotee who is anxious to see the Lord face to face. Prabhupada is saying about sadhu. Sadhu, see, Mahatma Gandhi we say, Mahatma Phule, Mahatma Dubey and all that we say. See, Mahatma, how they call, just like Mahatma Phule was a very, very simple person who would do even social service, sweeping the road, you know. He and his wife were very great social workers. We certainly recognize and we congratulate and appreciate them for their simplicity, for living utterly simple life. But they can't be counted as spiritualists. Like, you know, Mahatma Gandhi, people say, You know, because Gandhi brought Indian freedom. You know, Prabhupada took some good principles from Gandhi, like the farm communities and the charka, you know, and wearing khadi, simple living, high thinking. Even Prabhupada quoted Gandhi many times. When even after coming to ISKCON, Prabhupada took some good principles from Gandhi, Vinoba Bhave, and all of them. But that doesn't make a person a Mahatma. Now, you know, how you get the name Mahatma? You know, for example, if you love only yourself, we are called Duratma. And then you may love your mother and father. Then you love your brother and sister. Then you may love your neighbor. Then you may love your caste people or people having your surname. If you are a Patil, you will love all the Patils. You know? Yeah. Everyone has a surname, no? Some surname. They will love only those people. If I am Brahmana, I love only all the Brahmanas or whatever. Then I may say Jai Maharashtra, Jai Tamil Nadu, Jai Kerala. Yeah? I will love my... And then I may love Mera Bharat Mahan. Then in this way, our mind becomes broader and broader. Then we may say any human being from any part of the world, I love all human beings. But then they may kill cows and eat. They may kill goats and eat. And then when a person loves all living beings, you love goats also, you love... You know, chicken also, not that you eat chicken, but you love chicken, you know, isn't it? You know, you start loving all living beings like that. At that point of time, you will see, you become so, not a sankuchit hridai, but you become a vishal, udar. It's called a udara sarva evaite, he says. We become so udar and magnanimous. At that time, you come to Krishna consciousness. When you, Prabhupada says Krishna is a master switch. You switch on Krishna, then you love all living beings in one stroke. One shot you can love everybody. So then you are called Mahatma. Mahatma means Vishal Hriday Wale. You have a very broad heart. Then you are called Mahatma. So Mahatma is one who is a devotee of Krishna. Sadhu is a devotee of Krishna. It has nothing to do with mundane morality and our purposes. Sadhu. And then you all told very nice answers. Prabhupada saying here, he says, the killing of demons by the Lord is also a display of his affection. Three examples Prabhupada gives. A loving slap of a mother, which we discussed. Putana was given a post of a Dhatri, nurse in the spiritual world. Which goes to show that Krishna was very merciful to Putana, correct? Although he killed her, he sent her to the spiritual world. Thirdly, he says, all the soldiers in Kurukshetra battlefield, they got their Swarupam. Gata Swarupam. That word is used in the this thing. In the Srimad Bhagavatam. They all got their Swarupa. So, this goes to show that Lord is not envious of the enemies or demons or anybody, Prabhupada says. And the Prabhupada says, Krishna is so perfect that no one can harm him, no one can favor him. Which we discussed before also. And then, Prabhupada makes one important point. Krishna doesn't come in this world to kill the demons and protect the sadhus. He says, sadhus are already protected, he says. Sadhus are already liberated. Paritrana, I mean, sadhus are not liberated after Krishna comes. Even before they see Krishna, they are liberated. And demons also can be killed very easily by the... Like, you know, Krishna can create a heart attack in Hiranyakashipu's heart. Can't he do that? Suddenly some people catch it, say, no pain, and they go to the doctor and then they are finished. Can't he do that? Just one nerve, if he twists, he has to block some, you know, veins in the heart, that's all. It's not a very difficult thing for the Lord. So, in fact, Kali Yuga demons are two tiny demons in comparison to... in comparison to Hiranyakashipu and all, because Hiranyakashipu, you know, he used to control the climate. He can ask the sun to minimize the temperature. Just like today is a very nice temperature. It's not too hot, it is not too cold. So Hiranyakashipu could adjust temperature of the sun, not by having AC room or something. You have to have AC room. Hiranyakashipu didn't need AC room. You can directly look at the sun. He'll move his eyebrows. No. If he bulges his nose and moves his eyebrows, sun will immediately become, you know, he will withdraw the temperature. That much power he had. And he could ask the bhumi to produce, right now I want arm rest today afternoon for lunch. Get me arm. And immediately bhumi would produce arm. Yeah. Even out of season, Bhumi could give any fruit he wanted. Yeah. Now Bhumata cannot say, sir, it is not summer season now. You know, how can I give you arm? You know, nobody could say that. Bhumi produced everything out of fear for Hiranyakashipu. Huh? And all the demigods, they would be trembling. They would come to give a gift. Keep it and go away, he would say. They would keep it and run away immediately. Huh? Hiranyakashipu was so powerful. So, yes, demons are very powerful, but even such demons can be killed very easily by the Lord. Huh? It's no difficulty for him. And then Prabhupada says about, by his free will, he comes like a governor visiting a prison house. Let me go and see. So it's Krishna's mercy that he comes into this world. Any of you can tell me, what are the advantages of Krishna coming into this world for us? When Krishna appears in this world, as he appeared 5,000 years ago, yeah? He gives us a trailer of the spiritual world when he comes. And by hearing those pastimes, we can become attracted to return back home, back to Godhead. What else? Yeah? He can re-establish dharma.
That is very important.
Very important, yeah. Very important to re-establish dharma. Otherwise, the world will go in a wrong path. Yeah?
So this personal nature, like how he behaves, how are you feeling, then we can understand as a person.
We can see him as a person, how he behaves with his devotees. And we develop love and attraction for him, yeah?
And he said, center all the dharma, then just center unto me.
Correct. Although there are too many hundreds of different dharmas, we get confused and then Krishna comes and says, Maam ekam sharanam braja. You just surrender to me. It becomes very easy, yeah?
He gives hope to the practicing devotees.
Yeah.
Examples already there.
Yes. Exactly. Krishna's coming in this world is so hope-giving. Just like if a president of India comes into Aravada jail, all the prisoners will be so happy. Huh? The president is coming and encouraging us. And the president may say, hey, all of you become good sons, good citizens. Then very soon I will release all of you. Huh? So he gives a lot of hope. Yeah, thank you. Any other hand up? Yeah.
So, sir, it is opportunity to serve.
Opportunity to serve Krishna also when he comes. Yeah.
He gave Bhagavad
Gita. He gave Bhagavad Gita. Such a divya jnan. You know, even today, amongst all the books in the world, Bhagavad Gita is one for which the maximum comment is given. Commentary, yeah?
When he comes, he takes his devotees immediately. For pure devotees, he is always visible.
Yeah.
For little less qualified devotees, he takes them immediately.
He purifies them very fast. And takes them. In Krishna's time or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time, punishments are also instant. And deliverance also is instant. Both. You've seen that? Somebody embraces Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, immediately gets love of God. Somebody offends Mahaprabhu, immediately they get cholera, you know? Or some Kushta Roga or something. That is one in special point, yeah. They get instant Krishna prem and instant punishment, both, yeah.
Even the non-devotees, they become attracted for some time.
Yeah. Even non-devotees, they can become devotees by seeing Krishna's pastime. Sometimes it happens, they become transformed in their heart. Yeah. We can understand from Krishna's pastimes what pleases him, what doesn't please him, what he wants us to do. And a lot of good teachings we get simply by his presence in the world. And the whole world becomes dhanya, very fortunate. He is like the jewel on earth. Yes. Not only human beings. You know, when he plays on his flute, even the peacocks and monkeys and deers, and all of them, they all get delivered also. They all develop attraction for him and directly comes. Yeah. Many good points you all said. Very good. So, all are brilliant points. And then Prabhupada says, one reason why he comes here, he says is, sometimes he enjoys pleasure pastimes of fighting. So, he gives the example of a king. King has a paid wrestler with whom he fights, isn't it? You know? And then when he is fighting, all the queens are sitting in the stadium and clapping hands and watching, and many ministers and all the praja are all sitting and they are saying, king made a good move, he gave a good punch. And then they have a kushti going on, and the kushti is very interesting for everyone to see. So the wrestler is not enemy of the king. He is actually appointed by the king. Similarly, what example is this compared to?
Jaya Vijay
coming in this world, or even Bhishma Pitama. Coming. I think Sundar was calling. Somebody can say this? So, Bhishma Pitama example, how many of you know? You heard in some class before about how Bhishma fights on the side of Kauravas to give the pleasure of Viriras to Krishna. You all heard it? Yeah, thank you. So, I'm not going to speak on that because it's a very elaborate subject, but I just wanted to mention it because it is here. So, two things Prabhupada says when Lord comes in this world. Number one, he teaches. Number one, the Lord enjoys the mock fight with his devotees, but they don't like to fight with him in Vaikuntha. You know, it's very difficult for the devotees to fight with the Lord in Vaikuntha because they treat him as a master. So the Lord comes to this world, and here, like you know, he tells his devotee, "You become Bhishma, and I'll be on Pandava side. We can have a fight." So the stunt scene Lord enjoys also, doing stunt with his devotees. So Prabhupada says Lord enjoys mock fight, gets a pleasure. And another thing he says, Lord also teaches us that becoming his enemy is not very profitable. And that it is better for us to become his friend. You know, because you know, one who became Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, how much they suffered, you all know. They were killed by the Lord. All the people in the world understand, better to be a devotee of Krishna rather than become his enemy and you know get killed by him. You know, better surrender to him. Two things he teaches. So, last one point with which we'll conclude. Krishna does not need any favor from anyone. Still, because devotees want to serve him in a particular way, the Lord reciprocates. And then Prabhupada gives three examples. Okay. He says here. Yeah, Prabhupada is saying. We cannot accuse Krishna for marrying 16,108 wives, Prabhupada is saying. Why? There are so many devotees of Krishna and Krishna shows favor to all of them. Some ask Krishna to become their husband. Some ask Krishna to become their friend. Some ask Krishna to become their son. And some ask Krishna to become their playmate. In this way, there are millions and trillions of devotees all over the universe, and Krishna has to satisfy them all. He does not need any help from these devotees. But because they want to serve him in a particular way, the Lord reciprocates. You see? And then Prabhupada explains the Vatsalyaras and Sakyaras and all that. He plays for the benefit of both his friends and enemies. Krishna is completely independent and all that he says. So, this is the last point Prabhupada says, that how, you know, we should know that, you know, in whatever way a devotee wants to love Krishna and serve him, in that way Krishna reciprocates with his devotees. So, and he has no enemies at all. Actually, the enemies think they are enemies of Krishna, but Krishna doesn't think they are his enemies. You understand, no? There is a saying, the authority is seen as an authority because of the rebellion of the subordinate. The sentence comes in the 11th canto. When is authority seen as an authority? Say, for example, if somebody is a cleaning department in charge, and he is expecting all of you to go to the respective rooms and clean. You know, if the cleaning head is not there, you'll be happy. Because, you know, now that fellow has given the service and gone away. But then he comes to check whether you are doing the service or not. Immediately, you know, you'll try to rebel. Because you want to escape the service sometimes. You have experience of that? You know, you will say, Prabhuji, I'll clean it later, not today. Today I'm going to study or whatever. And they'll never clean it. They like to keep uncleanliness. So, authority is, give some prasad. So, authority is seen as an authority. Similarly, Krishna is seen as an authority by many demons. We'll recite one verse and we'll conclude with that. Mallanam ashanirnam naravara. I think it may be difficult to recite, so I will only say. It's a very big verse. It's a very big verse. So I will recite, you all can hear and then tell the meaning. Mallanam ashanirnam naravaras. Srinam smaro murtiman, vopanam asato satam chitibujam shastra sapitro shishu, mrityu bhojapater virata vidusham, tatvam param yoginam, prishninam paradevate tibidito, rangam gatasa grajaha. This is a verse from Bhagavatam which says, when Krishna was entering the wrestling arena, arranged by Kamsa to kill Krishna, there were Chanur, Mushtikan, you know, Shala, Toshala, very powerful, Pahlavans, very hefty-bodied Pahlavans waiting. So Kamsa's plan was Krishna Balaram, tender boys will enter and they will finish them, punch them and kill them, smash them to ground. That was the original plan of Kamsa. And when he was entering, there was a big uproar in the audience. In the stadium, people are sitting. Some of them are saying, hey, come on. These are two small kids. Look at Krishna Balaram. They look like sun and moon. Their bodies are glowing brilliantly due to their spiritual bodies. But at the same time, they are so soft like butter. Their bodies are so tender, children. How they can fight with this kind of elephantine Pahlavans who have such a hefty bodies, such a huge mass of flesh in their bodies. And they will kill these children. They were talking amongst themselves, people. This is not a fair competition. They were saying. So different people are watching in that Malyuddha. So Mallanam Ashanir. So the Mallana means the Malyuddha Vadis, like Shala Toshala and this Chanur Mushtik, they saw Krishna like a lightning. They saw, this boy looks very small, but he appears like dashing and like lightning. Krishna very easily defeated them. And this way, they all saw, now Yashoda and Nanda Baba, they all had come also. They saw Krishna as a small child, tender child, and also all the other gopas, elderly men. The friends of Krishna saw, oh, our friend is going to have a nice duel now. Let's have fun now. They were all clapping hands. They were seeing. And all the gopis and ladies, they saw Krishna as a cupid incarnate, like a madan. He looked very beautiful. And Kamsa saw that here comes the death personified. He saw like that. Because he was always afraid that this fellow may kill me anytime. So he saw death personified is walking and coming towards me. He thought, but before he approaches me, let him be killed by this Pahlavans. He was thinking like that. Like that, he says, different people, you know, the yogis also had come to that wrestling arena. They saw, here is the Virat Purusha, who has come in the form of a small boy. They saw like that. They saw Krishna like that. So different people saw different. And everyone wants to reciprocate with Krishna, and Krishna very kindly reciprocates accordingly. Somebody tells Krishna, Krishna, you just give me ashirvad, give me food, my daily bread. Krishna gives, take daily bread and keep quiet. Somebody says, Krishna, you know, I don't want your personal form. You please allow me to be in my own shanti, shanti, shanti. Okay, Krishna says, okay, go to that Brahma Jyoti, be peaceful there. I will not unnecessarily invite you into spiritual world and you have to dance with me and do lila and all with me. You don't want any relationship with me. One boy was asking me, Prabhuji, after coming to Krishna consciousness, I became very sad. He said, I asked, why? I heard that you have to enter into spiritual world and there also you have to dance, you have to go to forest herding the cows. I thought I can relax peacefully, shanti, shanti. There also I had to do activity. Then I told this boy, you see, going for herding cows, calves and all, your leg and all will not pain because you have a spiritual body. Correct, no? You will never get tired. There is no tiredness, there is no sweating, there is no, there is no pain, there is no going to college, there is no exams. So, but I told him, still if you want to be in Shanti, then Krishna will not take you to spiritual world, he will keep you in Brahma Jyoti. So Krishna is so kind, Krishna is so kind, he gives you place according to your desire, whatever you want. So very beautiful verse it is. You know what is that, this song, one song. You heard this, Radha Prabhu? भगवान के उस धाम में सब लोगों का खाता, जिसने जितना जमा कराया उतना ही वो पाता. You heard this? This is a song. See, भगवान के in भगवान in Lord's office, he has got everyone's account. He has got the khata. Whatever you have deposited, that only you will get. Whatever way you surrender to him and you do devotion service to him, accordingly Lord reciprocates with you. Some people, you know, like Indian Prime Minister, you can just be an average citizen, and you can be under the constable in some police chowki, that's all. Or somebody may have touch with MLA, somebody has touch with MP, somebody has touch with Chief Minister. But very few people may have direct touch with the Prime Minister in Parliament. But for somebody to be a relative of Prime Minister is a very rare thing. So, Krishna consciousness means private life of the Supreme God. That is Krishna consciousness. It is his private life. What is private life? Like all of you, you have your private life with your mother, father, brother, sister at your home. Krishna consciousness talks about that. It's very rare for anyone to enter into that life of the Lord. Because in your private life, you have your nickname at home. You have your details which are not commonly known to your other people in the college. So, this is a very beautiful verse. Na veda kaschit bhagavamscha kirshitam taveha manasya nrinam vidambanam na yasya kaschit dayitosti karhichit vishyas chayasmin vishamamati nrinam. My dear Lord, you never have a vishamata. Vaishyamyata. Vaishyamyata means partiality. How can somebody say you are partial? You are simply equal to all living beings. In fact, if you kill somebody, that demon, he becomes purified of all his sinful reactions and he goes to Brahma Jyoti. Is that partiality? When Lord Ram's bond touches the demon, it completely sucks all the impurities and the sinful reactions of the demon and makes him pure and fit enough to enter into Brahma Jyoti. Can you imagine? So Lord is not doing any damage to the demon. In fact, even Hiranyakashipu was delivered by Lord Narasimhadev. That's why Prahlad Maharaj was happy with the Lord. He saw the Lord Narasimha like a surgeon who is doing some special surgery in the belly of Hiranyakashipu and delivering him, removing all his poisonous mentality. That is like removing a pus, a doctor cutting a boil, and then liberating a person from all pain and taking him back to Godhead. If Prahlad didn't see like that, he would have fought against the Lord. He understood that Lord Krishna can never be harmful to anyone. He is a supreme well-wisher of everyone. Rantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki. Thank you very much. I heard that you all have a